Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be taking a look at a case that really changed the way we think about jury selection. Edmondson v. Leesville Concrete Company. You know, picture this. You're a construction worker, and you have a really bad accident on the job. So you decide to sue the company, but then you see that company using their legal rights to keep people of your own race off the jury.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but that's exactly what happened to Thaddeus Edmondson.
And his case went all the way to the Supreme Court. Wild, right?
Absolutely. This case really pushed the boundaries of how we think about discrimination, especially when it comes to juries. Before Edmondson, most legal battles focused on keeping prosecutors from being racially biased when picking juries in criminal cases.
Right, like Batson v. Kentucky.
Exactly. That was the big one back then. But Edmondson brought up a whole new problem. What happens when it's not the government, but a private company doing the excluding, and it's in a civil case? It gets really complicated.
Yeah, it's like a legal puzzle. How do you even figure out if a private company's actions are basically state action, just because they're happening in a courtroom?
Yeah.
And if they are, what does that mean for people's constitutional rights?
Those are exactly the questions the court had to wrestle with. And you know, the whole idea of state action is fascinating. Because if a company's actions are seen as state action, then the Constitution applies to them the same way it does to the government.
This case really bounced around the courts before it got to the Supreme Court, didn't it?
It really did. It started in district court, then went up to the Fifth Circuit. At first, a 3-judge panel sided with Edmondson, but when all the judges on the Fifth Circuit reviewed it, what they call en banc, they flipped the decision.
So it went from a 2-1 decision for Edmondson to 12-4 against him when the full court looked at it. That's a huge swing.
Yeah, it just shows how controversial this whole issue was.
Eventually, it landed in the Supreme Court's lap.
And the Supreme Court ultimately sided with Edmondson. They said that even private companies using peremptory challenges, those discretionary strikes lawyers can use without giving a reason, have to follow the Constitution's equal protection guarantees when they're choosing a jury.
That's a pretty major decision.
Oh, absolutely. It was Justice Kennedy who wrote the majority opinion, and he set out a 3-part test to figure out when a private entity's actions are basically the government's actions. The first question is, did the private entity use government resources? Well, in this case, Leesville Concrete was using a government courtroom with a judge who worked for the government running the show.
Makes sense. I mean, you can't really have a jury trial without the government providing the place and the judge, right?
Right. And the second part of the test is this. Was the private entity doing something that's usually the government's job? Well, we've had jury trials as part of our legal system for centuries, so that's a yes, too.
Yeah, jury trials are definitely a core government function. What about the third part of the test?
The third question asks, if the harm that was caused, in this case, being kept off a jury because of your race, could only have happened because the government allowed it. Well, without the court system and all its rules that the government made, Leesville Concrete wouldn't have been able to exclude jurors based on race.
So if a company checks all 3 boxes, it means they're acting like the government and have to follow the same rules. And Leesville Concrete hit all 3.
Exactly. And because they were seen as acting on behalf of the state, the Constitution's equal protection rules applied to them.
Okay, so before we dive into what this ruling means for the legal world, let's go back and make sure we all understand the facts of the case.
Sure. So Thaddeus Edmondson, the guy who brought this case, was a construction worker, and he got hurt on the job.
And it wasn't just any construction site, right?
No, you're right. It was at Fort Polk, which is a military base. That's actually a really important detail because it's what's called a federal enclave, meaning it's under federal jurisdiction.
You know, it's wild how these little details can end up being so important legally.
You're telling me. Anyway, because it was a federal enclave, different constitutional rules come into play, which we'll get to later.
Okay, interesting. So Edmondson gets hurt on this federal base, and then what?
Well, he sued Leesville Concrete. He said they were negligent, and that's why he got hurt.
And that's where the whole jury selection issue comes in, with those peremptory challenges.
Yep. So during voir dire, you know when the lawyers question potential jurors? Leesville Concrete used 2 of its 3 peremptory challenges to remove 2 black people from the jury pool.
Just to be clear for our listeners, a peremptory challenge is when a lawyer can strike a potential juror without having to explain why. It's different from challenging a juror for cause, where they have to prove to the judge that the person can't be fair.
That's a key difference. These peremptory challenges are really important for lawyers, but they can definitely be abused. Edmondson really showed how they can be used for discrimination.
So Leesville gets rid of 2 black jurors. What happened next?
Well, the final jury ended up with 11 white people and one black person. And here's where it gets interesting. The jury actually found in Edmondson's favor.
E1.
Technically, yes, but there's a catch.
Uh-oh, there's always a catch.
The jury also decided that Edmondson was 80% responsible for his own injuries because he was negligent too. So he got way less money than he would have if they hadn't blamed him so much.
Wow, what a hollow victory. Winning the case, but getting almost nothing.
Exactly. And it really makes you think, did the fact that the jury was mostly white affect their decision to put so much blame on Edmondson? It's hard to say for sure.
It does make you wonder what would have happened if the jury had been more diverse.
That's the question, isn't it? But it definitely highlights how important it is to make sure everyone has a fair chance of serving on a jury, no matter their race.
Well, before we start talking about the consequences of this ruling, we should probably take a look at the dissenting opinions. They offer some really interesting counterarguments.
You're right. For example, Justice O'Connor argued that peremptory challenges are older than the Constitution itself. She thought the court was going too far in saying they suddenly become state action just because they're happening in court.
So she felt that the court should have given more weight to the history of peremptory challenges.
Precisely. And Justice Scalia, he was worried about something completely different. He thought this ruling could actually hurt minorities in court.
How so?
Well, he thought it would lead to minority lawyers having their peremptory challenges scrutinized more closely, and that could make it harder for them to select a jury they believe would be fair to their clients.
So he was concerned that trying to fix one type of bias could create new problems for minority litigants.
Exactly. He thought this could end up backfiring and making it even harder for minorities to get a fair trial.
It's crazy how one case can lead to such different opinions. And this all happened in a federal enclave, which, as you mentioned earlier, affects which part of the Constitution even applies.
Right. This case was about the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause. That's different from Batson, which focused on the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause.
It just goes to show that even when we're trying to ensure that juries are fair and impartial, the legal arguments can get super complex.
Absolutely. Edmondson is a great example of that. It's a simple negligence case on the surface, but it raises huge questions about constitutional rights and equality under the law.
Okay, so we've talked about how Edmondson v. Leesville Concrete was a landmark case. But what about its lasting impact? Like, how has it actually changed things for lawyers or for people going to court?
Well, one of the biggest things that came out of Edmondson is that now in civil cases, lawyers can't just throw out potential jurors because of their race. They have to have a reason that isn't about race.
Right. And if they can't, the other side can challenge them. It's called a Batson challenge, right?
Exactly. That's when one lawyer says, "Hey, I think you're getting rid of this juror because of their race." And since Edmondson, judges are way more likely to really look into those challenges and make sure the lawyer has a good, non-discriminatory reason. It's definitely made jury selection more fair.
Do we know if there are more of these Batson challenges now because of Edmondson?
Oh, yeah. The American Bar Association did a study in 2023 and found that Batson challenges in federal civil cases have gone up by like 42% since 2010. That's huge.
Wow, that really shows how Edmondson changed things. It's like it forced everyone to pay attention to the potential for discrimination in jury selection, even in civil cases.
Exactly. And it's not even just about race anymore. Edmondson kind of set the stage for the courts to say that you can't discriminate in jury selection based on other things, too.
Like gender.
Yeah, like gender. A few years later, in 1994, the Supreme Court had a case called JEB v. Alabama, and they said that getting rid of potential jurors just because of their gender is also unconstitutional. And that decision leaned heavily on the reasoning from Edmondson.
So Edmondson had this ripple effect and made jury selection more fair for everyone. It's a good reminder that the fight for equality is something that never really ends, you know?
For sure. And we're still figuring out what Edmondson means for us today, especially with all the new technology and stuff.
That's what I was thinking about too. Like, what about AI? Do you think those AI jury selection tools could get around what Batson and Edmondson tried to do?
It's definitely something we need to keep an eye on. AI is really powerful. It can look at tons of data about people and find ways to exclude certain groups without being super obvious about it.
So it could be like a super sneaky way to discriminate, even if it's not directly about race or gender.
Exactly. Like, imagine an AI that's programmed to flag people from certain zip codes or people who went to certain types of schools or even people who buy certain things online. That might sound totally neutral, but those things could actually be connected to race or other protect your characteristics.
It's like a legal arms race then. Technology is changing so fast, and the law is always trying to catch up.
You got it. That's why this whole thing about AI in jury selection is so important. How do we make sure that these powerful tools are being used fairly? How do we stop them from being used to discriminate in ways that Batson and Edmondson were trying to prevent?
It seems like even though Edmondson was decided way before AI was a thing, it still gives us a way to think about these new challenges.
I think so too. Edmondson reminds us that we have to keep asking ourselves, are we really being fair? Are we really being impartial? Especially as technology gets more and more complicated.
Edmondson also shows how important it is to remember the context of these cases. You know, like, it was decided in 1991. That was a time when people were still really grappling with the legacy of racism in America. A lot had changed since the Civil Rights Movement, but there was still a long way to go.
That's why Edmondson is still so relevant today. It's about way more than just jury selection. It's about making sure that our legal system is fair for everyone, no matter their race or who they are.
It shows us that the law isn't static. It has to change as our society changes. And it often changes because of cases like Edmondson that force us to confront difficult issues and rethink what we believe is right.
Exactly. The law is always evolving, and that evolution often happens through these individual cases that push us to be better.
Okay, so we're wrapping up our deep dive on Edmondson. What's the one big thing you hope our listeners take away from this, especially if they're lawyers or studying law? So much to think about with this case. As we finish up here, what's the most important thing you hope our listeners remember about Edmondson v. Leesville Concrete? Especially those of us in the legal field.
You know, I think the big takeaway from Edmondson is that we can never let our guard down when it comes to discrimination. Whether it's really obvious or kind of hidden, we got to be on the lookout for it.
Right, like being aware of those unconscious biases.
That's a big one. And this doesn't just apply to jury selection, but to everything we do in the legal system. We have to be willing to challenge the way things have always been done and fight for more fairness and inclusivity, even when it's tough.
Because ultimately, trying to create a truly just system, it's not like checking a box and you're done. It's an ongoing process, right?
Exactly. It's like an ongoing journey that requires us to constantly think critically, learn from our mistakes, and work towards building a better future. And cases like Edmondson show us how to do that.
I love that. This deep dive into Edmondson v. Leesville Concrete has been eye-opening, to say the least. It's amazing how a case that happened back in 1991 is still so relevant to the stuff we're dealing with today.
It really is a fascinating case. And to all our listeners out there, I'd say, keep thinking about Edmondson. What does it mean for the legal world as a whole? How does it connect to what's happening in the news right now with all the conversations about racial justice? Because in the end, creating a legal system that's truly fair and just, it's something we all have a responsibility to work towards.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Edmondson v. Leesville Concrete.
It was great being here.
And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in.